Are you someone who loves Christmas to the point that you really hate to take the decorations down, even if it is now January 15th? If you answered yes, you are a Noelophile. And so am I. And this show is for you. Hi, I'm Dot Cannon. And for this website, I also like to use the pseudonym Noella Noelophile. On this show, we're going to be talking about Christmas in general and California Christmas in particular. My guests and I are going to tell you about special places you can go and things you can do during the Christmas season. We'll fill you in on gifted artists who are creating things you might just like to consider putting under your Christmas tree for the important people in your life. And we'll also do one other thing. We're going to be talking with people who are doing what Charles Dickens' Scrooge promised to do, honoring Christmas in their hearts and keeping it all the year. So, let's get started.
When you walk into the gates of the Dickens Fair, it is twilight on Christmas Eve. It's time for champagne, and you're likely to see Scrooge coming through the streets with one of the ghosts.
A magical trip back in time to Victorian London. That is an accurate description of a Bay Area tradition, the Great Dickens Christmas Fair. The Dickens Fair opens Saturday, November 21st for 5 weekends in Daly City's Cow Palace. 2015 marks the Dickens Fair's 37th year of creating the world of Charles Dickens just in time for Christmas. Kevin Patterson is the executive director at Red Barn Productions, which creates and produces the Great Dickens Christmas Fair. Kevin, how did the Great Dickens Christmas Fair first get started?
Oh, that's a wonderful story, actually. In the 60s, my parents produced the original Renaissance pleasure fairs in this country, and they were so overwhelmed by the success of it that they wanted to do something during the winter with all of their amazing talent, the craftspeople and the performers and their staff who wanted to work during the winter. So they threw a party that was a Victorian-themed party as a test. And it was also right around the time that the movie Oliver had come out, the wonderful Disney version that everybody knows and loves. And so it was obvious that this was a time period that was of interest, and the party was a great success, and everybody said, well, we should do a fair. So they rented the old warehouses down now where Levi Plaza is on the Embarcadero in San Francisco. There were some old anchor buildings that used to be foundries, and they envisioned just exactly what it is today, a marketplace that looks like Covent Garden in London, filled with all of the artists making Victorian shops and, of course, the streets, just completely teeming with the characters directly out of Charles Dickens' many, many wonderful novels.
You had the opportunity to grow up with this. What do you remember very best from growing up at the Dickens Christmas Fair?
I actually remember when I was 10 years old at the very first one, because I was one of Fagin's boys. And Mr. Fagin would stand up on a stage and do a morality speech about how young people should be raised properly. And we, his boys, would be working the crowd. And then we would go up on stage with things we had actually pickpocketed from the audience. We don't do this anymore. And would clumsily attempt to give him our take, and he would notice that the audience had noticed, and then would look aghast, and he would give us a proper shake and use us as an example of how not to behave, and then, of course, return the wallets and the handkerchiefs to the audience members who had actually lost them. That's one of my many favorites. Growing up at the Dickens Christmas Fair in the 70s was really the perfect way to discover not just the literature of Charles Dickens, but also to have a jolly good time during the holidays with the children of all of the performers and vendors. We were just urchins running around in the streets having a blast.
And you grew up from that urchin to helming this, if I have my date right, in 2000?
Yes, that's correct. My wife, Leslie, is a master in theater, and when we got together, I think that it was kismet, because we became producers after working for my mother for a number of years, Leslie directing the entertainment department, and I was directing the marketing and production departments. And then when my mother retired, Leslie and I took over the helm, as you said.
Wow, that has to have been both fun and maybe a little bit scary. What do you remember best from now you're in charge and you have some big shoes to fill with this one? What was that like?
Well, we do, but it was natural because growing up with the fair, we know all of the players and we also know all of the nuances of how to keep it lively, how to keep it fresh, how to create this environment that is really the world's largest environmental theater. The concept that my parents, Ron and Phyllis Patterson, had with the early Renaissance fairs and then continuing annually since 1970 with the Dickens Christmas Fair is the environment is the thing. It's like Shakespeare said, all the world's a stage. Well, when you go to one of the Patterson events, there is a total sensory immersion, as my mother used to like to say, where you are transported the moment you come in. It isn't just a play that you watch or something that you are standing by and enjoying from a distance. You really feel like you're in the time period because of the attention to detail and the workshopping that all of the performers go through before the event so that they don't read lines. They aren't scripted. They know the character inside and out, and you can hear them, overhear them talking in the streets or when they are being asked a question by you or when you're being playful with them. They're right there with all of the things that that character knows intrinsically. They just are that character, and we have this pride of making that total environment something that has the highest possible quality. And continuing that with my parents' original vision being the foundation of it, but my wife and I and all of our present-day directors knowing it so well that we work with it as an art form, and it is new every single day. That's the nature of improvisational theater.
Kevin also addressed one misconception that might occur to anyone who hasn't yet experienced the Great Dickens Christmas Fair.
I would like to maybe point out that this is an event that is not specifically for any particular age group. The idea that a holiday fair is something that is focused on children is a misunderstanding of what the Dickens Christmas Fair is, if people think that even. People who've been, I think they know, but people who haven't may think that it is just for children, although there are wonderful things for children with Old Father Christmas there and a hand-powered carousel and special shows such as Punch and Judy puppetry just for the kids. There is also a whole world of activities that are really focused on adults and on singles and on providing the more bawdy aspect of celebrating the holidays and just being silly and playful with a bit of sexuality thrown in for fun with other adults. And so Mad Sal's Dockside Ale House, the French Postcard Tableau Review, these are all things that take place throughout the day, but also in the evening. And the Dickens Christmas Fair is therefore a well-balanced event for people, children, if I may, of all ages.
Suppose somebody is new to the Dickens Christmas Fair. They're going for the very first time. Would you take us on an imaginary tour right now? We walk in, and what do we see or experience?
The lobby is like a train depot, and the windows from the lobby into the warehouse that is the first environment that you come across when you enter Dickens London is the dance party. It is Fezziwig's holiday party for his beloved employees and anyone who happens to be by. So they are twirling about on the dance floor that is lit with amber and yellow and red lights, and there are great boughs of holly and garlands draping the ceiling so that the mistletoe hangs down in the middle of the dance floor, and the dancers will sidle under it so that they can get a kiss from their partner. And then when you enter the streets of London, you come out of the lobby and you come across that threshold, that's what you hear. The dance music of a wonderful string and brass orchestra, and then the cinnamon sugar almonds is the first thing that comes wafting your way. And then I think the second thing is the sound of champagne corks popping. There's the leather bottle, which is the champagne stand just inside the entrance to the fair, and the great big Christmas tree. And then it is a holiday party, and you're in it, and there's no turning back. From there, you can easily get lost, which is my favorite thing to do. I try to forget that I know so much about it and just find my way into the fantasy and stumble into one of the theaters. The first one is likely to be the Victoria and Albert Bijou Music Hall Theater, which is a full walk-in theater that is decorated and prepared for a royal visit from Her Majesty Queen Victoria and her consort. And the two of them will be there later in the day, but all day long it is ready for a royal visit. So you feel like royalty when you walk in. And what's on the stage is either a wonderful fantasy children's pantomime involving a mashup of all of the great stories of our childhood, or it's the very traditional and lighthearted Professor Farrington's Music Hall. And it is all day long. You can come and go in that theater and see wonderful things. Fabulous melodrama, an opera gala, and the evening is then complete with the saucy French postcard Tableau Vivant, which is different and more scandalous every year, I think. And then the foods. There are marvelous and many different varieties of meat pies. The Scottish meat pie, the steak and kidney pie, the chicken and mushroom pie, the bangers in a light flaky crust. And that is just one of seven restaurants that make fresh, traditional English foods. My favorite is always the fish and chips because it is so evocative of the time and the place of Victorian London. And it is also some of the best fish and chips you can get anywhere, including London. And I often end up putting that to the test. So the shops, as you wander past the meat pie booth and start to look at what's in the twinkling windows of all of the shops, you're amazed, actually. I find that every year the different vendors that we have, who are all juried master craftsmen, have just outdone themselves throughout the year to be prepared for the opening weekend of the fair. And to get to the Dickens Christmas Fair on the opening weekend is, for those who are in the know, really one of the best times to find the very finest crafts because they're all one of a kind. And the sooner you get there, the more of a selection there is.
What's a preview of some of the new craftspeople you'll have there at the Dickens Fair this year?
Well, there's a glassblower who was trained in Venice, Italy, and he's noted for some of his fine sculptures as well as utilitarian objects. And the colors that he comes up with are just fantastic, and the way that the light plays off them is perfect for the environment of the Dickens Christmas Fair. And there's a silhouette artist who is new to the fair who has the ability to have his patrons sit in front of him, and within moments he will have created a perfectly cut and mounted silhouette of yourself or a loved one. And there are so many different things that the individual craftsmen come up with that are new and different every year. It's impossible really to name them all, but there's a couple.
And in fact, both the craftsmen and the performers will have undergone a number of workshops that you've made reference to before. What kind of training are they having before they ever get to exhibit in Dickens Christmas Fair?
Well, they learn the dances. That's one thing for certain. And then they can teach the dances to all of the audience members who come and wish to twirl about the dance floor and learn the Victorian playful dances of the time period. There's also a language workshop where they learn how to speak various dialects of the Queen's English, as it were. The Cockney accents are, of course, some of the more well-known and popular, but there are appropriate accents depending on where in London you live. And that gets me to the next workshop, which would be character development, where they learn all of the things that their character would think and feel and say, not just by dialect, but also by worldview and education, so that when you ask them a question, they're not going to tell you something that they wouldn't have known, or in like kind, they'll be marveling at your great education if you have given them some idea of how you speak, for instance, just by choosing a few words of greeting, they can tell what your education was. And then there's theater. There's the joy of improvisational theater, of really learning how to work with not just your cast members, your fellow cast members, of which there are 785 at last count at the Dickens Christmas Fair. As I mentioned before, it's probably the largest environmental theater, certainly of an authentic historical nature in the world. And to learn how to work with all of those cast members from all of the different walks of life throughout Victorian London at the Dickens Fair is really a challenge as well as a joy. And then there's working with the individuals within the public and how to sweep them into the time period so that they really feel welcome and that they are made comfortable in a way that allows for that interaction. That's one of the things that's sort of missing in modern life, is this on-your-feet interaction with other members of the human race. We are far too distracted by our screens and our two-dimensional interactions, and this is certainly taking us back to a time when language and learning were revered, and the playfulness that we all might have had with each other in the pubs and in the restaurants and in the shops, and being playful and witty was really the norm and people's joy.
With a cast of this size, what kind of work and preparation are you talking about? How soon do you have to start to prepare for a Dickens Fair that starts in November?
Well, the individual performing groups take a bit of a break early in the year after the Dickens Christmas Fair is over, the weekend prior to Christmas. So maybe sometime in early spring is when most of them and us begin thinking about the new shows and the ways that we are going to engage the audience this year and some of the new things, and also just getting costumes prepared. All of the cast members are responsible for their own costumes, and there is a head costume designer for the event, and she and her team have to approve of every one of the costumes. So the email, there's quite a bit of collaboration that takes place all year long, because to have a new costume is many months' effort for people that are doing it themselves, and some of them hire professionals to work with them on certain things that are a little bit more specialized, like a proper corset. Not everybody knows how to make a proper corset, and there are a number of people now, and some very talented artists within the fair who specialize in those kinds of details for the clothing that is, for us, really just that. It's clothing. It's not costuming. It feels like it's home. It feels like it's what we wear on a daily basis, as opposed to something that we dress up in, so to speak.
And that goes a long way towards explaining the immersive nature, because it does. It feels like you're walking back. It's Christmas Eve sometime between 1842 and 1863, the minute you step in the Cow Palace.
Yes.
You have some promotional events in conjunction with this that I don't remember before. Would you tell me a little bit about what you're doing with promotional events this year with Dickens Fair?
Well, we are usually looking for festive parades and opportunities to make other people's celebrations of the holiday that much more colorful and interactive. And so you will find some of our performers in the Burlingame Parade, the holiday parade there, for instance, or at the Union Square tree lighting ceremony, or the Embarcadero Holiday Fair when they have the ice skating rink up and running. Those are the kinds of things that we enjoy doing as we lead up to the Dickens Christmas Fair itself. And then there's the 5 weekends of the fair. It really is a marvel that during that entire time period from when we opened the Saturday before Thanksgiving and run to the Sunday before Christmas Eve, that it is as if we have extended the feeling and the joy of Christmas Eve to every one of those 11 weekend days, because that is the theatrical concept. When you walk into the gates of the Dickens Fair, it is twilight on Christmas Eve. It's time for champagne, and you're likely to see Scrooge coming through the streets with one of the ghosts.
How can people best support you in addition to coming and enjoying the Dickens Fair as you continue on your 37th fair?
Well, I think they can come and experience it anew if they have not been for a while, and come and see all of the things that we have done to refine the presentation and to make it enjoyable and continue it being one of the most unique benefits of living in the Bay Area. There's not another Dickens Christmas Fair anywhere in the world. There are other Victorian things that take place to honor that time period, but this is a local phenomenon that has been going on since 1970, and the depth and the richness of it just simply cannot be replicated. It takes decades to create what we have done in terms of the talent as well as the environment. And so for people to come and experience that firsthand, and then to go and share that excitement about how unique and wonderful it is with their friends who have never been, and chide them a little bit and get them to come.
And finally, Kevin, what's one of your all-time favorite Christmas memories of the Dickens Christmas Fair?
There are so many, but I have to say that on Saturday night, a couple of years ago, it was the solstice on our closing Saturday night, and we gathered together at one of the large pubs at the fair. There are 6 different pubs, and of course our favorite would be Mad Sal's Dockside Ale House. And when we had the cast gathered around and we raised a toast to the returning of the sun on the solstice on that evening, it was truly Christmas Eve, and it was magical. It made my entire year, and I haven't forgotten that evening because of the warmth and the camaraderie of the cast and the recognition of that special moment at that special time of year that just happened to be on one of our important nights.
Kevin, thank you for your time today.
You are very welcome, and I look forward to seeing you in the streets of London at the Dickens Fair.
You and I have been listening to Kevin Patterson, Executive Director at Red Barn Productions, creators and producers of the Great Dickens Christmas Fair, now in its 37th year. The Great Dickens Christmas Fair opens Saturday, November 21st at Daly City's Cow Palace and runs for 5 weekends through December 20th. You'll find more information at dickensfair.com. That's dickensfair.com. And that concludes this edition of Noelophile. Thank you for listening. And may your Christmas season be warm, full of light, festivity, and scented with pine and cinnamon almonds.